Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the pod. Today's a very special episode. We have a guest on today. We're going to put her in the hot seat. And I came up with some really good, deep, thought-provoking questions. So welcome our guest. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me today.
Okay, so
it's great to be a guest on my podcast.
This is dropping just in time. Oh, shit. Sorry about that. Malfunctions. We always have guests on and we're always picking people, other people's brains about like their life experiences and like what they do and how they got to where they were. But we're like, we're kind of interesting actually. Mm-hmm. And no one really interviews us. So why not interview us? And yeah, so we're going to do Fran and eventually down the line we'll do me. But before we get into that, we do have some weekly updates. Number one is we're going to the Jonas Brothers concert and I'm very excited for it. Me, Fran, and our cousin Bianca, since we were probably like 10 years old, younger, we've been obsessed with the Jonas Brothers. And I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm still obsessed. I used to be part of their like MySpace fan club. My parents paid like $50 a month for me to be part of it. And I would get like calls from like Joe Jonas.
I remember
on my brat's phone?
Yeah.
I would pick it up and it would be like, hey, this is Joe Jonas. Thank you for being a part of my fan. And I literally think they were calling my fucking house.
Yeah.
But.
No, yeah. We it's tradition for us to go every JB, the original JB concerts that we go, and we're very excited. I'm a Nick girl for life. I love Nick Jonas. Priyanka stole him. It's fine. It's okay. But yeah, weekly update. I was getting booster juice yesterday, and in the plaza, I see geese and ducks that are like fenced off in like this little like area, and this lady is just like sitting there chilling with the geese and ducks. I'm like, the geese had like babies and they were so cute, like little duckies just like crying around. She goes, yeah, like I work here. I made them a fence and like I'm taking care of them. I was like, oh, because when they hatch, like they have to cross the street, Leslie, like the street to get to the pond. It's like a really busy street because I'm probably going to help them like cross the street. I was like, oh, that's so nice of you. I'm like, okay, well, be careful. Like the geese was like hissing at her. I'm like, be careful, like they're like so dangerous. Because no, like she knows me. And I was just in my car after like staring at her, like she was so close to this geese's face. The geese was like literally to her face.
They're fucking
like,
vicious.
No, Sam, like I thought the geese was gonna attack her. And I was kind of laughing in my head, like this girl like thinks it's like her mother.
Aww.
No. Like it was really sweet of her to like take care. Like I love animals, but like I was just like, this girl can't, you know.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
It was weird that you said that because the other day I was at the gym in the morning and I came out and there was a duck and it's like maybe like 15 ducklings just waddling, following each other. Maybe we'll pull the video up here. And they were walking across the parking lot, the gym parking lot. It's a big gym parking lot. And where the gym used to be was all like forested area. Remember?
I actually don't remember that.
No, but even like not where Movati is, where those new plazas are and Farm Boy is, that was all still like grass up until like a year or two ago. And these...
They're trying to find the pond. That's
yeah, weird. And I was like, this is so sad. I was like, they're running through the parking lot. One of these fucking ducklings is about to get squished by a car.
No,
for sure.
If you squish them, you get paid a fine, I'm pretty
sure. No, it wasn't a goose. It was a duck. But still. I mean, I'm sure no one would purposely squish them, but like, I felt so bad.
Yeah,
I was like, they're so cute. Anything else?
No.
I want to talk about the fact that I went through an experience recently where I felt very lonely. Okay. And like, it was a very like weird sense of loneliness where I was like out of my comfort zone. And I was like, I literally just like didn't know / didn't have the tools to be able to like soothe myself down, like out of my comfort zone, not in my house. There's no one around me really that was like my quote unquote comfort. And I just wanted to put out here on the podcast that I need to work on that.
On what?
I need to work on like that feeling of, sorry, my hair's fucking bothering me.
You should cut those pieces.
Yeah, I need a haircut. My hair's so long now.
Like the front pieces are like long.
Okay, well.
I'm just saying, you should cut them.
Anyways.
Okay, continue.
I want to work on like, if I'm in some a location or not around people that I'm like 100% comfortable with / like are my like everyday people, I want to be able to have the tools to be able to like calm myself down and soothe myself without feeling like it's like going to be a disaster and I like need to go home, you know? I don't know what those are yet, but I just wanted to put that out there on the podcast.
It's a social event?
Yeah.
Okay. So social anxiety, kind of?
Yeah, I need to work on that. Okay, so let's get into the hot seat questions for Fran. We want to be very thought-provoking with these answers, so you need to be a little bit, like, vulnerable here, okay?
Okay.
And just, like, all
I don't know any of these questions, by the way. Like, I don't...
Just like our guests are vulnerable, we expect you to be vulnerable, too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but we also send the guests, like, our questions before so they approve it and make sure that, like, there's nothing on there that's too
okay, well, if you really don't intrusive. Want to answer something, okay. then just don't. But number one is, what is the best piece of advice that has changed your view on life?
Ugh, I don't know. These are hard to answer on the spot.
All right.
No, wait, let me think. Like, best piece of advice someone has told me. Maybe it was no. And it might have been, now the way he said it kind of doesn't make sense because like he's broken English, but it's the sun. It said, I'm going to try to explain it. He said, if you stay in the sun, like you'll stay warm. Right. But if you don't stay in the sun, you'll obviously get cold. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think what he meant by that, and I was trying to understand like what that meant, but I think what he meant by that is like, if you do good for other people or like even good for yourself, or just you're a good person in general, you're going to stay warm. Like the sun will always kind of follow you. And I think that part, like if you stay warm, the sun will always follow you. That's kind of in my mind. And this was recent. This was like maybe like.
He said that to me too before.
A month and a half ago that he told me that. And it just kind of always reminds me. Sorry, to move the table. Reminds me that like, no matter what you're going through in life, whether it's like tough or lonely or whatever, that like just to always stay positive and warm because the sun will always follow you eventually. Like will never leave your side. And I think that just reminds me always to go about life being a good person for other people and also like for myself.
It's kind of like karma a little bit.
Kind of like karma. Yeah.
Like if you do good, like you'll feel good and you'll feel that like return.
The universe will like always warm you and bring you warmth. And not only like money wise and superficial and materialistic, but even like
relationships,
people in your family will remember, not that you have to prove anything, but will remember like what you do for them and like provide you that warmth, friends, family, like you're always going to get this cycle of warmth because the sun will always be shining on you because you're doing good. So I think that's something that stuck with me. I probably heard like a bunch of things that people have told me throughout my life, but that recently, like where I am in my life now, has stuck with me.
Okay. Are there people in your life that you look up to and why do you look up to them? Or maybe you don't look up to the person as a whole, but look up to the way that a person deals with things or conducts themselves in certain situations?
No, like I look up to you, but in a different way than that. Like the way you described is, I have a lot of people I look up to. Like I look up to, okay, I'll name a few people. My dad, because I think my dad's like the strongest person that I know. He works so hard all the time for like our family and during our childhood and even like whatever recent, even now, like he just always wants to make sure that me and Sam and like his family is good, no matter like what he's been through. So he has a character trait of, what's the word? Like resilience, I think. Mm-hmm. My dad's very resilient. I think that's where I get kind of my resilience from. Like no matter what life is throwing at you, you got to keep pushing and doing good. And you don't give a shit what people are thinking about you because like, you know, you're a good person. I think my mom is a very hardworking person. So I look up to her because I think she's, you know, my parents are separated now. Like she's raised me and Sam. Well, Sam's moved out now, but what? So we were 17, 18 when that, maybe 16, 17 when that, I was 16. Sam was 19.
Mm-hmm.
When it was just me, my mom, and my sister in the house. So like raising us, getting her job back, like she wasn't working to working again, to being, you know, very independent, like mother. I feel like I look up to her because she's so hardworking. I look up to Sam because Sam took like a leap, or you took a leap in your life where like you got a job and then you realized it wasn't the job for you and you actually quit that job to be entrepreneurial for X amount of months. And in that X amount of months, you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know how you're going to do or like how much money you'd make or like mm-hmm. if you're going to be busy from Monday to Friday, but you still continued and persevered. Mm-hmm. So Sam's always been a very smart person as well. Like maybe before that used to piss me off because like everyone's like, Sam's smarter than you. I'm like, fuck you. Like,
I don't think I'm smarter than you.
Well, everyone would be like, oh, she went to U of T. Like,
hey, who cares about and
the back
of
my, no. But in the back of my mind, when I'm in university as a younger sister, you're like, what the hell? Like, why are you comparing schools?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Now it's just kind of like, yeah, Sam's a very smart person. And they also look up to, this is kind of random, but not really, Francie's mom, like Mary, mm-hmm. if you're watching this, Mary, because she is like the most calm person. Like, my boyfriend's mom can literally, like, I don't know, nothing, I don't want to say nothing phases her, because definitely it does, and, like, I don't know that, but she, the way she handles situations is very composed, and, like, I think we handle situations a bit differently, because we're very anxious and very, like, oh my God, like, kind of based on emotion almost, but my boyfriend's mom is very logical and very kind of, like, let's talk through it before we make, like, a decision kind of thing. So that's someone who's, like, inspired me too recently. So, yeah, those are a few people.
Okay, so what is a disappointment that has happened in your life and how you learned from it? And it doesn't have to be something that you disappointed yourself, like you disappointed yourself in, but maybe just like an overall something that's happened in your life that you're just like disappointed that it happened and what has come out of it. There could be multiple things.
Disappointed and glad that's come out of it.
Like something that has happened in your life or some things that have happened in your life that have left you disappointed that they happened, whether you did it, whether it was like other people's situations that has affected you, and what came out of that other than just disappointment? Like what have you learned from it?
This is like very vulnerable. I don't know if I want to share some all of it, but I mean, like, should I, for keeping it real?
I mean, if it involves other people, to keep their privacy private, but like,
well, it involves me. Like I'm the one who did it.
Okay, so then go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if I want to say my relationship problems on the pod, but I mean, like, it was something that I disappointed in. I didn't do anything, like, horrible.
Okay.
But I think maybe in the beginning of my relationship, I was not ashamed, but, like, kind of just, like, had internal wounds that maybe I haven't fully recovered yet that I wanted to keep from my partner in terms of things that, like the past me. I hid this part of me or this from my partner or my boyfriend because I thought that he would judge me, because I thought that it made me less significant, because I felt like maybe it wasn't important. But I realized that, you know, when you have a boyfriend, when you have a partner, you have, like, right now, like how we're vulnerable, you have to be vulnerable in order to open those parts of yourself up. And I'm not saying that, like, you're entitled. When it comes to your past, I honestly don't think you're entitled to tell your partner every single little detail that happened, because, like, maybe some things you just don't want to share, you're not comfortable sharing. Or maybe those are things that you think, like, okay, it's not even relevant anymore. Like, why bring that up kind of thing? You know what I mean? But I think for me, just learning to be, I disappointed maybe myself and my boyfriend because I was less vulnerable than I should have been. And that caused a little bit of, you know, what's the word?
Friction
for a while. And I think learning how I got out of it was he's like taught me how to be more vulnerable and how to be more open, and realizing that, like, not everybody is going to judge you or kind of hold resentment towards you because of something that you've done or because of your past. That's one thing. Another thing is, again, I never thought, again, getting a little vulnerable, but like I never thought my parents would separate kind of thing. Like, you know, we had a very tight, functional household. I never thought that that would happen. That happened. That disappointed me. Not that, like, I don't think kids play a role in that at all. Like, I don't think me and Sam had a role in that or me and you had a role in that. Mm-hmm. But I almost felt like I disappointed myself because maybe I didn't do enough to, like, you know, keep our parents together or do something to kind of mitigate fighting or friction. So that was a disappointment. But I've learned that, again, you grow through phases. And I feel like my relationship with mom and dad has gotten better, actually. Like, rather than them two together, like, I have now a separate relationship with my dad, which is great. And I have a separate relationship with my mom that is great. And I can see how both those people are doing, you know, well, and how they've grown as two people individually rather than in a relationship. So, yeah.
I agree with the whole, I don't know about the relationship thing. That's, like, your thing. But, like, the whole separating parents thing, I don't think that we've had, like, we should have a full episode on that, just like with other people talking about how they feel, because, like, you never think, like, it's almost like, you don't want to say embarrassing, but it's almost like,
it's not embarrassing, but you have no one, when you have none of your friends that are going through that, like, you can't, they can't really relate. Now,
I definitely have friends that their parents are separated, but it's more like if, like, other families, okay, let's just put it this way. I know this is about friend, but I'm about to get vulnerable too. There's people, like, there's always going to be people in your family. Like, I'm not talking about your mom and dad and, like, your immediate family, but, like, you know, extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins that are going to talk shit. There's always going to be people like that.
Yeah.
So, like, us getting vulnerable about our parents' separation isn't us, like, bashing our parents anyway. It's just, like, what the reality of our lives is right now. And it's just sometimes like at the back of our mind, I know Fran also thinks this, there's those people in your family and your extended family that you know
watch
that,
just to pick this out and yeah. be like, oh, this is how they feel. Yeah, like, yeah, it is
exactly.
how I feel.
And like maybe, kind of like spin it in a bad way, but it's not in a bad way. We're just like trying to talk about the fact that like, this is our reality and there might be other people going through it. And I think that it's like a really weird thing to go through your parents separating when you're an adult. Like I know, I can't even imagine what it's like when you're a kid. I'm so grateful that like we had everything we had. We literally had any like everything, right? But like when you're an adult and you have to like relearn how to have a relationship with each of your parents individually, it's kind of difficult because
there's emotions that you're feeling that you can actually like express almost. Like you know how to express your emotions better than when you're a kid, right? Yeah, but like you feel anger at first, you feel hurt, you feel disappointment. You might feel anger directed towards each of them and that will make your relationship less or like less strong. But then eventually you kind of learn how to A, talk it out, B, process your emotions, do therapy if you need to, you know what I mean? Like do things.
And like, I just want to say like, if there is any of you like weirdo family members watching this that are like judgy, sorry, no offense, I don't care. Okay, if there's any family members or anybody watching this that is judgy, I just like, I don't even care anymore. Like I am.
But why care? It's what we went through. Like they don't
I
know.
But like
nobody knows what we went through, but the people in that situation. And a lot of people feel the same way. Might listen to this and be like, wow, like I feel the same way. And
but like, I just want to say it's okay. Like really, it's okay if your parents get separated. It's okay if your parents get divorced. Like doesn't mean they love you any less. I never thought that they loved us any less. Like that's not one thing I ever felt. But
I didn't
like,
think that either.
But like obviously it's like hard. You eventually like learn to live with it in like a different way. And it's fine. They're still there. They're just two separate like people. They're not together. And sometimes it's for the best. You know what I mean? You, like sometimes at the beginning, you're like, fuck, I wish this didn't happen. Just made my life more complicated. But it might be for the best in the end for both of them. You never know.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, I think we want to definitely have a bit more of like a vulnerable episode on that. Obviously, if our parents are okay with it too, because it is kind of their business as well.
Obviously.
But like, that's
why I'm going to into detail, but what the fuck happened? But I mean, you know. But
like still, it still has to do with them. But I think the reason why we haven't is because like,
The fear of
like, you know, these other people.
Vultures.
Fear of vultures. Yeah, pretty much. I know it's bad to say, but I don't care. You know what? As you get older, like, I feel like you realize, you know, when you're like a kid and you like, you kind of hear whispers of your parents, like talking shit about like certain family members, but you don't really know why or slash like you never really, they never really want you to hear. When you get older, you start to be like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We don't want to sound rude either. Like, we're not being rude about it, but like,
I'm not being rude. There's just some people that just don't mesh with your life and you don't want their vibes and they can be your family. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have friends that I feel like are more family than my family.
I never used to think that family could be toxic. When people just said to me, I'm like, how are you labeling your family as toxic? Like, or I used to say on like advice fucking articles and stuff like, oh, you're allowed to remove family from your life. In my mind, I'm like, I would never even think to do that. Like, that's your family.
We're not talking about like mom, dad, sister. We're talking
about
like,
it could be that too.
It could be, but not in our situation.
But like whatever, like aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever the case may be. And you think like, what? Like, I would never like cut them out. Like, that's my family. That's blah, blah, blah. And then you get old and you realize like, okay, these people are just not my vibe. They don't bring anything good. And maybe I don't bring anything good to them. So like, what's the point?
But and then I've realized like, I'm fine with not bringing anything good to like some people in my extended family. Like if you can't reciprocate a relationship where it's like, you're making me feel good and I'm making you feel good. And like, we can have a conversation that's healthy. And it's more like, whenever you see them, you get like anxiety to talk to them. You're like, I don't even want to answer the phone.
Yeah, that's how
like,
you know that.
That's like, how you know. And that's how I knew. I'm just like, no, X, I'm Xing you out of my life. But okay, next question for Fran. If you could write a book about your life so far, what would the title be?
I could write a book about my life. You know what's kind of fucked up? Like, I don't even remember half my life. I think that's a trauma thing. I think we spoke about this before. Like, I don't remember
trauma
anything.
From what, though?
I don't know. I don't remember anything past, like, Trento in Italy, which is grade 11.
You don't remember
maybe grade
before
nine.
That?
Maybe grade 9. I don't remember anything from, like, grade 9 or grade... Okay, let's just say grade 7. Grade 7 on, like, downward. Like, I don't remember grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, but that's also because, like, you're... Like, I don't really remember that. I remember, like, tidbits of memories.
Okay, when you see, like, a title, are you talking about, like, now or, like...
An overarching title of your life, what would it be called?
I don't know.
Okay, next.
Maybe like
Finding Fran.
Finding yourself or something. I don't know.
Finding Fran.
Finding Fran. Amongst
Amongst what?
Freaks. No, that's rude. Finding Fran amongst the noise. There you go. Finding Fran amongst noise is my title.
That's good.
Of the book.
That's pretty good. What's the one thing that makes the future scary for you?
The unknown of it.
Okay, but specifically?
Specifically death.
All right, we're getting
sorry,
like,
I just think
dark.
Death is the scariest shit I've ever, like, in my life. Like,
yeah, Fran,
I think,
like, will talk about death a lot, and she'll be like, where do you think we go? Like, and I'm just like, I don't even want...
It makes
I don't
me
even
have
want
an existential... What's it called? Existential?
Existential.
Existential
crisis.
Like, when I think about death, I want to cry. And my boyfriend's kind of been like, you have to start... Well, he's been through a lot, like, a lot of people have died, like, that he's known at an early age. And, like, for me, that's not the case for me. Like, I don't, we haven't had family members that, like, we're really, really close to now that we've, like, witnessed die. Or, like, a dog that's died. Or we haven't had I haven't had friends that have died. Like, I heard about somebody in my high school, I don't want to disclose, but I heard about somebody I used to know died, like, 2 days ago. And I felt physically ill, I felt like I couldn't sleep, like physically mm-hmm. ill and like sick to my stomach. The fact that like I knew this person and now they're just like dead, like it made me fucking ill. So mm-hmm. I think that's something that really scares me. I also think that something that scares me is maybe ending relationships because of what happened, like what I've been through, like in my like house, I guess. Like maybe the end of a relationship or the end of a family is what really scares me, or even just not being able to provide for my family scares me, like financially, or being like, I don't know, just having kids and then not being able to like provide for them or something, like, I don't know. That mm-hmm. that scares me. Just like uncertainty. Like, do I even want kids? Don't know if I do, because they scare the fuck out of me in terms of like, I know I want them, but like the world that we live in and just like, I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be okay. Another fear, I guess, is not me not being able to be a good parent or like mom. Mm. Like, I don't know.
But why?
Like protecting my kids from like all the bullshit that's out there. Like, how do I know that I'm gonna be able to do that properly?
Well, or, like, I don't think you really
or
try,
just like just
you?
Treat like being able to grow them up into like good people. Like, how do I know they're gonna be good people? What if they become a murderer? Like, I don't know. Like, those are thoughts.
Yeah, that's like spy. That's like,
no, I know, but those are thoughts that just go through my head. Like,
okay. What motivates you, I guess? Okay, so speaking of, like, you're kind of, you have this fear of maybe, like, not being able to provide for a family down the line. Not being able, you can obviously provide, but you have this fear of, like, if you have a family down the line, like, I guess, is what you're trying to say, you don't know if you'll be able to continue to, like, work hard to provide for them? Or,
what
like,
do you mean?
What, like, you obviously work now and you work
no,
right
I know,
now. Like,
just
what's going
like,
to change?
I'm just saying, like, I don't know, something happens maybe that, like, I wouldn't be able to provide for them anymore. Or, like, maybe... Mm-hmm.
There's, like,
I
mean, more pressure,
you,
whereas
never
if something
know.
Were to happen now, it's, like, it's just you.
Well, now, if something were to happen, like, first of all, it's very easy. Not easy, but, I mean, like, I'm young, out of school a year and a half ago, and I have a good resume. Like, it's not hard for me to find a job. You know what I mean? Like...
Okay, so what motivates you to work hard?
The future.
Okay, so, yeah, that's what
you know,
I was
it's like,
getting
it's
at.
Like it's like integrated. Interconnected.
What would you say? There's a lot here that I wanted to ask, but I'm trying to like put them in an order that like tells a story of Fran's life. So we talk a lot about when people are on the podcast, we talk a lot about like how they got to where they were in terms of like career and background and things like that. So I don't know if we've ever told the listeners how you got from A to B or to where you are now, but can you just like outline like, what do you do? You don't have to like disclose information, whatever. Where you want to go from here and like how you got to where you are.
Whenever someone asks me this question, I feel like I'm not
qualified enough to answer.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Like,
but I knew you were going to say
I don't know why. It's like, oh, you're only 20, whatever. You're 23, 24, turning 24. I'll be 24 when this comes out. You're 24. You really only ended school a year and a half ago and this is your first job. Like, what experience do you
but
have?
But your success isn't defined by
your job.
No, I know,
but I'm not done yet. But then I had a coffee chat. Someone reached out to me on LinkedIn for a coffee chat. And I was like, oh, me, a coffee chat? Like, wow. And then, you know, he was like talking about my life. And he's like, you know, I think it's really inspiring that you went from point A to C now that you have your own podcast. Like, now that you are doing this and that, you volunteer. And I'm like, I realized like maybe I'm doing okay for like where I am right now, and like I don't have to be doing more. So basically, I guess where I started from the roots. Okay, Ryerson, went to university, marketing management, and minor in law, because I really thought that I was going to be a lawyer and I wanted to go to law school. So I took a minor in law just in case I wanted to do that. Before all that, I wanted to be a vet so bad. And I actually had thoughts of like going back to school being a vet. And I thought like, absolutely not, like that. I would get out when I'm like 40. So that's deterring me from doing that. And then I have to go back and do like biology and chemistry from grade 10 that I didn't do because I was lazy and didn't feel like doing more work than I had to in grade 11, which is like one of my biggest regrets ever. Anyways, so yeah. And then I went to Humber for my postgrad in marketing management. And then I don't want to sound cocky. I'm really, really grateful. It didn't take me a lot to find something or a job that I really liked or was interested in. It took me maybe 2 weeks of job searching to find where I'm at now, which is I'm doing marketing for Pet Value Canada. And like, it's what I like. I like it. I love the company. It has to do with pets and animals, which is like something that like I couldn't get because I couldn't be a vet, but like it's still an aspect of my life that I'm still, you know, in dogs, cats, whatever. Sometimes we get to be surrounded by them, whatever the case may be. So, you know, working on marketing campaigns and coordinating a lot of POP and signage and the in-store experience for like consumers. That's what I'm doing right now. What I want to do 5 years from now, or like how I see myself growing, is just, I don't know. I can't really say like what I'd like to be doing. I definitely is still in marketing, maybe towards like brand more, like brand management or branding or sports marketing could be something. Like I also have a vision of me being like a host, like a podcast host, but like a host for like TSN or like, I don't know, something like TFC or something. I don't know, like something just to do in like the realm of sport is something that I'd like to do. But yeah, that's where I got from point A to B. And like, that's why I don't like answering this question, because I feel like it's not like a woo woo where people are like, you went up and then you went down. Like, it's just kind of.
Okay. Well, you didn't even mention the podcast and all of this. Like, I think that me and Fran forget that we literally, like when people ask me this too, like now I do say the podcast. So again, I know this interview isn't about me, but in a recent like endeavor that I've embarked on, they asked me about my background and things that I do. And when I mentioned the podcast, it got me like so much more recognition.
No, I did mention that though. I'm like, my first shot, I mentioned that when people asked me like, what do you do? I do mention like, I'm also a podcast host of blah, blah, blah. Where like, whereas I first started this, I wouldn't have said that because I feel like I had like imposter syndrome. And sometimes I still do when it comes to the podcast. It's like,
sometimes I do too. And I had somebody ask me like, how is your podcast a business? Like, what is it that it's a business? And I was like, well, I understand that we're not direct. It's not like business to business, and we're not like, it's not like B2B or really B2C, but like,
it could be B2C, but like,
I mean, not really. It's like entertainment. B2, it's like business, it's entertainment, right? It's like B2E, if that's the thing. We should make that a thing. But like, what I think sometimes we don't recognize or reflect on, and it's not just about the podcast. It's like, if someone asks you how do you get to where you are today, I don't think it should just be defined by the job you had, but more like the journey and the things that you've learned. So like you said, you know, you like where you're at right now in terms of job, like in terms of like 9-to-5 job, right? And I do think that that's important. And like Fran said at the beginning, and I haven't talked about it on the podcast because I didn't really know where I was going. But now that like I'm kind of a little bit more settled in what I'm doing, like I did quit a high paying job that I took without a backup plan in terms of another 9-to-5 job because I wasn't happy. And me and Fran do things outside of our 9-to-5 jobs, like the podcast and like other business endeavors, and she volunteers, and like I'm involved in other agency like business, right? And no matter what you're doing outside of like your job 9-to-5, if you're not happy in the 9-to-5, everything else is going to feel miserable.
It feels like it's like going to crumble. Like that just gives me a good foundation of like,
if you're miserable throughout the whole day.
Yeah. It gives me a good foundation. I feel good that I'm in this job. You know, it's not draining me of my energy where I can put my energy to someplace else or somewhere else. And like, again, I have thoughts sometimes where I'm like, should I go back to school for at least like a vet tech or something? Or like, for example, this past week, or I guess 2 weeks ago, my grandfather's dog was in the dog hospital. And like, I was by that dog's side from Friday to freaking Wednesday, like not leaving my dog's side and like caring for it. And I saw the vet techs run in. I'm like, I would love to be doing this. And then my aunt, or not my aunt, my Mel was like, really? Like, you like to be working 16 hour shifts? I'm like, yeah, like I don't find that like daunting because I love, and again, I'm not in the work. So I'm not like saying it's not hard work or like it's not tiring because I'm not in that field. But I already know that like I would like doing it because that's just something I'm passionate about.
But I'm also, what I was trying to get at is that like you are happy with where you are in terms of your job, but we also need to recognize all the other things that got to us to where we are today and recognize that like we also started this podcast literally on nothing.
Yeah.
And like,
and it's weird, like when people come up to you like on LinkedIn, they'll be like, oh, I just listened to this episode, like really cool, like keep it up. And you're like, oh, or like on YouTube, this is the weirdest shit. Like, we were having doubts about, I think, the podcast, or we were kind of like doubting ourselves and doubting a specific analytic when it came to the podcast at one point. And then I got a YouTube comment from an unknown, remember, an unknown person was like, you girls are going to learn how to be more vulnerable. Like, keep it up. Like, this is going somewhere. And I was like, is this the universe, like, actually like, talking to us? It was a no-name orange icon. And I was like, wait, this is so, like, freaking weird. So,
yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's also important to recognize how you got to where you are, not just in terms of job, but also other things. What's one thing you want to achieve? Did I already ask this? What's one thing you want to achieve in life but struggle with?
No, you didn't ask that. What's one thing I want to achieve in life but struggle with? I think being more, or I want to achieve not giving a shit what people think. And I always say that, but I just feel like I've always been someone who kind of cares about what people think about me, about what I'm doing, about who I am, like, and people pleasing. Okay, that's a big one. I'm a huge people pleaser. I need to learn how to say no to things. And I think these last 2 weeks prove that. Like, I love to help people and I will help people, as especially my family, as much as I can. And I will take on responsibility of things because I feel like people gravitate towards asking me because A, they just know I'll say yes. And B, I feel like they know I'm a person who will just help and kind of will do things for them. And I don't want to say, well, I do want to say, actually, I think some people may take advantage of that sometimes where it's like, just ask Fran, like she'll do it. Fran will do it. Like, Fran will take this and do that and that, that, that. And over the last 2 weeks, do you not agree?
I only think that it's like that when it has to do with animals.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But anyways, it's not just to do with animals and dogs. It's to do with other people in my life too. Like,
I'm saying within family.
Well, it's not just with family though.
Okay.
I'm just saying in general. And it caused, literally, like, I felt like sometimes it takes me away from things that like I should be doing, like work or things for myself or taking a day for myself. Again, how I mentioned in the last podcast, I like to plan my day. And I understand like you can't plan it from 9 a.m. to freaking 9 p.m. without any changes. But at the same time, like when I have a plan for and a day for myself and then I have to feel like I'm doing like 30,000 things for other people, I get like a mental breakdown. Like literally, like I had a mental breakdown the last 2 weeks. So I think that's something that I want to achieve, is just saying no to people or saying no to things that do not either A, serve me, or B, I just can't do just because I feel bad.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I guess.
Well, you can combat it. That's just how I feel.
Well, I don't know. I can't combat it.
It's not just to do with animals and dogs. That's how you feel. It's to do with also like care in general, like just care, or like, hey, can you do this for me or do that for me or get this for me or buy this for me or do this for me or this for me? And it's just like, I'm fucking running around and like, you know what I mean? Like, and when I say no and then people make me feel bad. Yeah, but I think
that sometimes the way that you say no is combative. Like, you'll say no in a way that's like, like, oh my God, no, like I'm busy, I don't want to do that. Like, you'll like be combative.
Yeah, I get, and then frustrated
you'll do
afterwards.
It anyways. So it's kind
yeah,
of like,
and I feel bad. So that's my thing. Like, I get frustrated and I get like, no, like I'm not doing this. And I'll feel bad. Like, fuck, like, okay, no one else is going to really do it. So I'll do it. And then that's where people feel like, I think people can take advantage of me. Another thing is like, and my boyfriend pointed this out, when something bad happens or when something happens that I don't like that somebody did to me, and my boyfriend's like, why don't you just tell them how you feel? I'm like, I did tell them. And then he'll be like, no, you didn't though. Like, that's not, the way I think that I'm telling someone how I feel is not actually telling them how I feel. For example, scenario where somebody was calling me 4 times in a day and my boyfriend was like, why don't you just tell them? I'm like, I did tell them. Well, what'd you say? I just didn't answer. That's not telling them how you feel. That's not
No offense. If I know what you're talking about, I also told you to say
I know, but that's something that I need to work on.
Yeah.
Like, I need to work on being like standing up for myself and being like, this is like a boundary. Stop doing this. I don't like this. Not just not answering. Not answering. And I'm like that with everything. Like, I get paranoid about, for example, I was on a soccer team and I couldn't make practice. I was so sick. And I texted the coach fabricating a reason why I couldn't go because I thought that me saying like I was sick would just be like him being like, you're not hardworking, you're not dedicated. And then I delete the conversation. And I'm like, I don't want to look at it. Like, I'm scared. I got nervous. I got anxious with that. It's a weird thing of like people getting mad at me or people like not.
I kind of have that too, but.
It's a weird, it's something that I'd have to work on, like why I feel that way.
It goes
or why
back
I do
to
that.
Setting boundaries with people and like.
People pleasing. I'm a huge people pleaser and that's what it is.
I don't know though if you need to also respect other people's boundaries though.
Yeah, that's fair. I get
okay.
it.
Okay, like, you can't just be like, you just said yourself, like, you want to tell someone, stop calling me after this time or whatever. The situation that she's talking about, I was in the same situation. The person spam called me and just bombarded me with messages and things during a time of the night when I was working with a client. And it started to bring up, like, you start to get that feeling in your like, stomach of, like, I don't want to answer her. And you know that you don't want to. And you know it's making you feel a certain way. I don't want to answer this person. I don't want to engage in this probably what's going to be a toxic conversation.
And that's maybe what it is. Maybe I'm afraid of conflict.
But it doesn't matter. If it's not conflict unless, like, this is what I'm saying. It's like, in this certain situation, we didn't feel like we needed to be involved. And we were both busy separately. I was with the client. She was going to bed. It was later at night. It was 9:30 p.m. Work the next morning. I had work the next morning. And I was with the client. And we were getting spammed. And it was to a point where we were like, why are we dealing with this? So what I did was I just simply told this person that I will not be talking right now. And then they stopped. Well, yeah, no, they didn't stop. They kept calling me. But I at least told them that I will not.
But why was I scared of doing that? It has to be just something that, like, I don't know.
But so am I sometimes, because even with other people, like even with Fran, like no offense, she spams me. You spam me. I'm sorry.
You spam me too.
No, I don't. Sam. Not like you, Fran. You overwhelm me. And I physically say,
I have frantic
please
thoughts.
Stop spamming me. You have frantic thoughts right now. Please stop. We will discuss this. Like even like, let's say with the podcast, we'll discuss this in the podcast meeting. She will just like not even see that I said that and just keep talking about it.
I like
just
spiral. Like, I'm like, well, we should be doing this, but okay, why aren't we doing this? Let's work on this. Let's do that.
And then she'll message me. She's like, did you do this? Did you bring this? Did you do this? And I'm just like, bro, holy shit. So you have to recognize that you're also doing the thing to me, or I don't know if you do it to other people, that you don't want done to you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, next. We're almost done here. My computer die? Great. Okay. So, one sec. I'd back up on my phone. What is one, okay, I kind of want to pivot to mental health.
Okay.
So, what is one of the most prominent mental health struggles that you have? And where do you think that it could be rooted from? Like, for me, I think I've identified where some of mine are rooted from. And I think it was a certain event. We're not talking about me, though, so I'm not going to say it right now. Is there, like, anxiety, some sort of, like, depression, some sort of, like, panic that you get often? And where do you think it could be rooted from?
I definitely have anxiety. I can't pinpoint where it's exactly rooted from. Probably childhood somewhere. But also, I feel like, I feel like anxiety and also the feeling of, like, self-worth. Like, sometimes I get really low on myself and mean to myself. And I think that's rooted from or goes back to my first breakup. Okay. Because that was, like, my first relationship. Obviously, like, I really liked the guy, whatever. And then it came out of nowhere and took a little bit of a toll on my self-esteem because, like, I didn't know where the fuck it came from.
So you thought
I didn't know what was happening. I don't know if he cheated. I don't know if he lied. I don't know if he just thought I was fucking ugly. Like, I don't know where
it came
from.
So you thought that this, like, abrupt breakup came from the stance of that
I'm not good enough anymore.
Not being okay with, like, you. Like, you weren't enough.
I didn't really get a response as to why it was happening. So I just thought it was, like, I'm not good enough anymore. or, and that would spiral, like, maybe he cheated behind my back, maybe he did this, maybe he did that. So it was like a feeling of not being good enough anymore. So that has definitely improved, because my boyfriend now makes me feel like I'm always good enough. And I've also done,
I was going to say, I feel like you need to make you feel like you're good enough. Yeah, I've
also done work to look in the mirror and also to realize like you don't need anybody to tell you you're good enough. Like you're good enough. But I'll always have those moments where it's like, oh my God, is he getting bored of me? Oh my God, like, am I boring? Like, am I not enough? Am I still good enough? Am I this? Am I that? Am I fine? Blah, 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 blah. So that's one thing that I think drives my self-esteem sometimes. Anxiety, I honestly can't pinpoint. Like, there's probably like a multiple things in my life that have driven anxiety. But I want to say maybe the main thing, I don't want to call, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like our mom was always kind of like very anxious person.
I think that,
and that's not the reason why I have anxiety, but it's just like the household you grow up in, like the people that you're surrounded with sometimes implement how you're going to react to things. You know, my mom has always been like, kind of catastrophizes some things. Like, for example, when we went out and then I didn't answer my phone once, like she'd think that I was dying. And now kind of I'm in that same mindset of like, if something happens, I think it's like the end of the world kind of thing. My grandpa,
like, I'm going to Mexico.
Should
my
we
mom
answer? No, no one's make him say hi on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Hi, Nano. Look, we're recording.
We're at our radio show, you see? So we're telling you to give our listeners one piece of advice from you. From you, your advice for young people. For young people.
Oh, for young people. Oh. Bruce Tiki, love your mother and your father.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have respect for old people.
Okay.
Okay. Like your nonna. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love you, young people.
Mm-hmm.
You're the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So be good, you know, and try to make an alive everybody, right?
Okay. Okay.
That's my advice.
Okay. Last question we want to leave the listeners with is, what is one piece of advice that you have for people trying to find themselves that may feel like they lack some purpose? Not that I think that you feel that, but I think that sometimes you felt that. So what is one piece of advice that you would have for the people?
Like my book title, I think just cut out all the noise and shit in your life. Because a lot of noise and shit in your life can, a lot of the noise and shit in your life can alter the perception that you have of yourself, and also alter the perception of the path that you want to go on. It can like sway you in the wrong path, or again, just alter the perceptions that you have. So I think that just really taking the time to like find yourself, no matter who's telling you what to do, how to do it, where to do it, like whether it's your friends, your family, your boyfriend, your whatever it is, like just really taking the time to know yourself. Like I feel like where I struggled, why I felt like I lacked purpose at one point was because I didn't even really know myself. Like I was going based off of the Fran that like other people would tell me who I am, whether it's my family or my friends, or the Fran that like, I don't know, high school Fran, which is like really stupid because high school was a long time ago. But just like, I don't know, based on big events that like kind of changed my life. Because once you get out of high school or even university, you're kind of like, okay, what now? Like, what do I really want to do? So I think that just cutting out the noise and taking time to really know who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what your boundaries are, who you want to involve yourself with, who you want to cut out of your life eventually if they're not serving you anymore. And I recommend journaling, which I know we always talk about it, but like I have this new book by, I think, Rui Kapoor, is that her name? The Milk and Honey author, wrote kind of like an untethered soul journal, but it's like where you write down like all your traumas and kind of like where you write down big life events that happened to you that maybe you subconsciously like stored away how you feel. And actually, whether that's therapy or you want to do like journaling, I think it's a really helpful tool because once you get all that shit out of your mind, that's back here and in the open in front of you where you can see it, process it, and then kind of be like, okay, now we can kind of push it away and move forward from it. That really helps as well. Cause I think a lot of that bullshit is what low key drives your decisions and your actions.
Just to like piggyback off of that. Sometimes I get overwhelmed when people are like, journal, get your thoughts out. Because, like, I feel like sometimes I don't want to sit there and write. And, like, I think faster than I can write. What I've been doing is video diarying.
I don't think I can do that, but.
I literally just pick up my phone and I go like this on Snapchat and I talk. So when I went through this whole journey of, like, quitting my job without a quote-unquote backup plan, I literally went week one. And I would start talking about what I planned to do in week one. Then it was week two, week three, week four. Now, mm-hmm. I recorded my this past week where a lot has happened in my video diary. And if I look back on week one, what I thought was going to play out, and now week six, it's like, holy fuck. And you can see the way that, like, when you're video journaling, you can see the way your, like, emotion is changing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's actually cool, especially for people who feel like, you know, there's people that don't like to write. Not that I don't like to write, but, like, I don't really like.
I like writing, so, but I get where that, because you can actually see yourself maybe be like, fucking week one, like,
yeah,
just, and then like week six, like, I'm here, yeah, blah, 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 and you can kind of see like how it goes. Not to say that I won't go down again, because it's life, but I mean, like, seeing yourself kind of the actually overcome the up and down of like the low and then the high is kind of motivating that, like, I can kind of get through anything.
Yeah. So anyways, right, well, thanks for having me on. Thank you for answering the hot seat questions, and thank you guys for watching. And see ya next time. And this is Mother's Day weekend, so happy Mother's Day, even though it's past. And happy birthday to France, since...
Yay.
Yeah. This is one thing. We started the podcast when you were 22, and now you're 24. That's kind of weird. It's
crazy.
We started the podcast when I was 24.
Like a significant, like, age difference. Like, when we were 22, from when we were
24. And I was 24 when we started the podcast, and now I'm 26. I'm 26. Why does everyone say I'm 27?
Okay.
Okay, anyways, bye.